I'm going to start by reading from Psalm 7. So, Psalm 7. There are some church Bibles kind of in the pews at the side, at the front, if anyone wants one. O Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord, my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have done evil to him who is at peace with me, or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God, decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather round you. Rule over them from on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity, O Most High, O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. My shield is the God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who expresses his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his head. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Amen. We read in Genesis that in the beginning, does it look like a G? If you look at the white bit. Yeah. There you go, for those who are struggling. Don't laugh. This one should be easier. O. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to say how he created loads of different animals and so on and so forth, culminating, we are told, with his creation. We are not created just to walk around like Dr. Spock did, who was a Vulcan in Star Trek, without any feelings. We are created to feel and to think. And some of these feelings can be very confusing. We kind of think as in the church and as Christians, we kind of make a hierarchy of emotions and feelings. We think that some are good to have, and we think that some are not so good to have. And I just want to quickly challenge that, or maybe make you guys think whether that is true or whether that is false. And we're going to play the world famous, and I do mean world famous, game based loosely upon an old game called Play Your Cards Right, called Play Your Emotions Right. Okay, it's very simple. It works like this. I'm going to show you emotion. If you think it's a good emotion, something that we should feel, it's going to go on the right. It's that simple. If it's a bad or a negative emotion, something we shouldn't feel, we're going to put it on the left. Or the opposite of right is also wrong. Okay, so the first emotion I want us to think about, and I do need some audience participation here. Happy. What do we think? Good emotion or a wrong emotion? Good? Sure? Anyone disagree at all? Feel free to disagree. Okay, good. Proverbs, if I can find my notes, 15:3, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. Very good. How about sadness? What do we think? Good sometimes. Anyone else? You sure it's not wrong, Helen? You sure? It's not wrong. Honestly, it's not. So where's it go, Helen? Is it right? Is it wrong? Or is it in the middle? Okay, at the moment. There's always one. What do you reckon at the moment, though, Tim? Good? Wrong? Or in the middle? Yeah. Typical pastor. Good answer. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn. Another word for sadness. Don't know. Let's put it in the middle. That's what the vote seems to go for, I think. Yeah, okay. Could be a contentious one, this next one. Lust. Bad? Anyone think it's good? Don't be brave. Cambridge Dictionary says, lust, definition, a very strong sexual desire. Who created sex? God. So if you read the Song of Solomon, although it talks about the intimacy that God wants with us, it also points very much about how in a married relationship, sex is there to be enjoyed. Maybe right, maybe wrong, maybe in the middle. But let's not be so quick to condemn that time when you really fancied your wife or really fancied your husband. Okay? I'm going to put it in the middle for the moment. No, you voted for wrong, didn't you? Yeah, wrong? Okay. How about fear? Good? Anyone disagree? Middle, why? Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's good. To Timothy, we are not given a spirit of fear. Surely it's bad then, isn't it? We're not given a spirit of fear. Sorry, Helen? You've been reading my notes. However, in Proverbs it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Which one is it? Good? Or wrong? In the middle again. We're so middle of the road. Okay, good. We'll put it in the middle. Fair enough. Okay. How about this one? Which was spoken on so well a few weeks ago by Jamie. Guilt. Jamie, what do you think? Middle. Anyone think it's good? Yeah? Good and bad. Okay. In the middle? Anyone disagree? You disagree? Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. I still can't hear you, sorry. Parts of being moral, did you say? So is it a good feeling? Or is it... Pardon? I can't, sorry, really... It's good because it's part of being moral. Okay. So you think it's a good emotion? Okay. Certainly, listening to Jamie's talk, but you talked about how David's guilt led him back to God, didn't you? Yeah, okay. But other people can be consumed by it. So maybe the middle? Okay. Finally, jealousy. What do we reckon? Why? It does indeed, yeah, Book of Exodus, okay. It talks about, I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. Okay. But maybe we have friends who are kind of eaten up by jealousy because so-and-so is going out with so-and-so or someone else has some such gift that we would really like. Okay. Going middle? Okay. So really, the only positive one we've got is happy. The rest, if I read you right, could be good or bad. Is that a fair summary? Except for lust, which is totally wrong, yeah? Is that a fair summary? Okay, you're a very quiet audience. I think sometimes as a young Christian growing up, which I'm not anymore a young Christian growing up, these sorts of feelings can be really difficult to cope with. They can be very confusing, very overwhelming, because we have that feeling or that thinking that, oh no, yeah, this is a good feeling and this is a bad feeling. So if I am sad, is that a good thing? Not really, because people tell me I should be full of joy because I've been saved and my sins are forgiven. If I feel lustful And growing up as a teenager, when all those hormones get released into your body, your desire to have sex can be overwhelming at times and really strong. And you can feel guilty because you think, oh, I shouldn't be really feeling like this. And all of these emotions, I think all of us in this room have been through at some time. And we as Christians, we need to learn to deal with them to improve and help our walk with God. Don't necessarily think it's a good feeling or a bad feeling. Maybe it's both. Maybe sometimes it's good. We're going to talk about anger tonight. It's good to be angry, but other times it's bad. So maybe anger sits in the middle as well. Psalm 7 verse 6 says, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger." And even a brief study of the Bible or looking through a concordance, you will find many, many verses in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, about God's anger. So if God gets angry, is it okay for me to get angry? So I thought it'd be good to have a look at the things, or some things, that make me angry. And hopefully, maybe, maybe not, you can identify with some of these as well. So Ben, could you show that first slide? I'm going to grab a drink of water. Right. Hands up if you're a middle squeezer. Hands up if you're a bottom... I better change this. Rewind, cut that, Ben. Hands up if you squeeze the bottom of the tube, is what I meant to say, obviously. Okay, fair enough. Graham, why do you squeeze the bottom of the tube? More efficient. Come on, middle squeezers, why do you squeeze the middle? David, you're a middle squeezer, I think. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you really sure? Because I bet there are some people here, maybe when you first got married or whatever, or started living with housemates, you are a bottom of the tube squeezer and your housemate was a middle squeezer. And I bet sometimes it drove you absolutely mad, didn't it? Okay. Sorry, Helen. It's worse leaving the lid off. Tell us more, Helen. Do you have an issue here? Okay, it's worth leaving the lid off. Fair enough. Okay, next slide, please, Ben. Ooh, the toilet seat. Hands up, toilet seat. Up. No one? Really? Come on, boys. Come on, be honest. Hey! Well done, Joseph. Okay. Hands up, toilet seat should go down. Not really fussy, you sure? I have to admit, most of my house and flatmates over the years have been female, and they trained me and they beat me into the truth that the toilet seat should go down. But for some people, it can be a real anger issue. You've left the seat up again, what have I told you? Blah, 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 and so on. You can fill in all the blanks, I'm sure. Okay, how about the next one? Church. Never underestimate the ability of church to make people angry. Wars have been fought between different parts of the church over seemingly kind of minuscule things. Sometimes I come to church, I quite like a modern song, but you know what, sometimes these people in the worship band, they make me learn really modern songs. And the tune, I don't know. And the words, I've no idea. And I find it really hard and it makes me a little bit cross, guys. Okay? But sometimes also we come to church and we have to sing those really old hymns with really strange words that nobody, I think, really understands. And we have to, at Christmas time, sing carols with lines like, "Lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb." And I sing it every year for about the last 50 years of my life and I've no idea what it means. And it makes me a little bit cross that I have to sing it. And don't get me started on the seats. Sometimes I come to church and someone is sat in my seat. The very seat that Jesus himself gave to me, and it makes me angry. Next one, please, Ben. Driving. In the mid-80s, I had to invent a new word called road rage. Okay, so I'm driving, and sometimes I'm out over the back of the Sussex Down trying to get to work, so I've left home a little bit late. What do I meet? A tractor. Now, don't get me wrong, tractors are meant to be driven in fields, aren't they? They have big wheels with lots of tread that grip. They're supposed to drive in fields to do whatever they're supposed to do. Why do they need to drive along the road in front of me at 5 miles an hour when I'm in a hurry to get somewhere? It makes me angry. And sometimes when there's about 5 or 6 of us cars stuck behind that tractor, you get, and it's usually a BMW driver, I'm very sorry about this, a BMW driver comes and overtakes all 5 or 6 of you, cuts in right to the last second, and I have to brake. It makes me angry. I go along the A27 quite a lot because my mum lives in Portsmouth. We get to Littlehampton. It's a dual carriageway. At one point, it goes right towards Arundel and goes left towards Littlehampton. You're supposed to stay in the right-hand lane to go to Littlehampton. In the middle of summer, the queue is about 2 miles long, and you're sat there. What happens? Some smarty pants comes right up on the inside until the very last second, cuts into that outside lane, and goes merrily on his way to Arundel, or wherever he's going. And it makes me mad. Next one, please, Ben. Is there a next one? Or is that the last one? That's all my anger, it must be. Okay. What do you notice about all of those situations? They're all about me. What I think. What I feel. How it affects me. I have to slow down. I have to sit in a different seat. I have to sing really bad Christmas carols. It's about me, me, me. And a lot of our anger can be about me. And when Jesus says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And when he says you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross, he means it. We have to learn to put others first. If we think about me sitting in the car to Littlehampton when I'm getting undertaken, these are the physical effects of too much anger. Stress levels rise. Your heart rate increases. Your blood glucose levels go up, your immune system can be affected, your digestive system can be infected, and funnily enough, can also affect your eyesight. That's a really interesting one that I find about eyesight, because me, I'm all about eye. You could say I've got eye disease. I want this, I want that. And what do we notice about eye disease? It makes a barrier between God and me. And there's a verse in James, if we could look at that please, Ben. James 1:19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be slow to speak and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So that's my anger, all about me. How does God's anger differ? Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God is a righteous judge who expresses his wrath, which is an old-fashioned word for anger, if you like, every day. Now, when I'm preparing for talks, I use an online concordance, and I just typed in God's anger. And I got these verses come up. Not loads, but quite a few. Would anyone like to guess, and I didn't know this, why God was angry in every one of those verses? Anyone have a guess? Basically, it was idolatry. Every one of them was about God's people forgetting him and either making kind of gold or silver images or chasing other things. They were forgetting that God should be at the center of their life. Maybe that's a warning for us in the church today. I don't know. We need to think about that maybe. So this moves on. All of those verses are Old Testament. So the next question then,
Can we have a look, please, Ben? Did Jesus get angry? Now, around the church, some of you already have them. There are some in the pews. There are five verses there. Just while I have a drink of water, pick one. Read it. See what you think about it in answer to the question, did Jesus get angry? Anyone got an answer? He did. He did get angry. Admittedly, these are all the verses I could find in the Gospels. You may have known of some more, I don't know. Sometimes the word anger isn't actually used, but if you read it, you can very clearly tell that Jesus was angry. Mark 3, he got angry at religious people. Mark 11, he was angry at the misuse of the temple, possibly religious people. Matthew 17, he got angry at the unbelief of the disciples. Matthew 23, whoa, he got angry at religious people. Matthew 15, he got angry at the hypocrites or the religious people. And Matthew 15 culminates in, I think, what is a kind of a great question, but a scary one. He says, why are you so dull? I like that question. I don't know why, because it challenges me. It makes me think, why am I so dull sometimes? So Jesus' anger was expressed at religious people of the time. So what is the difference then between Jesus' anger and my anger? Was Jesus just angry because he had to go and do something? Was it impacting him? I want to have a look, quick look, especially at Mark 3 and Matthew 17. Whether you turn to them is up to you. The Mark 3 one is a very simple story. It's the Sabbath, and Jesus is being watched by some Pharisees or Sadducees, or some religious people anyway. And they wanted to see whether he would actually heal a man who came to him with a withered hand. And if you read the account, it says that Jesus got angry at them. He got distressed at their stubbornness. And his anger and distress led to a supernatural healing. In Matthew 17, we read that a man brought his son to the disciples. The disciples couldn't help him. So the man took him to Jesus. Not very kindly, he said, your disciples couldn't help me, but I thought it was a bit nasty saying that. Jesus says, and you have to imagine here that Jesus is not English when he's saying this, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. No, he's passionate. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. His anger and frustration led to a supernatural healing. We read in other accounts in the Gospels, John 11, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. That emotion, that strength of feeling led to Lazarus being raised from the dead. We read just before he fed the 5,000, Jesus had compassion and he healed all the sick. The difference between my anger and Jesus' anger is that his anger results in supernatural miracles in order to help other people, to help set the captive free. And the challenge to us, I think, is that we need to somehow start feeling the anger that God feels. When we read things like, apparently in 2017, there were nearly 200,000 abortions. That the charity Shelter say that there are roughly 320,000 homeless. When we read the Joseph Rowntree Trust say that in 2017, and these figures are contentious, depends how you measure poverty, by their accounts, 14 million people living in poverty. Now we do some great work as a church. We have CAP, and if you read how CAP started, the frustration and the anger that John felt about not being able to help people resulted in a fantastic ministry being set up. Picture yourself back in 1960s America, being black, and the civil rights movement starts. How angry and frustrated you must be at the unfairness of how you are treated, that you cannot sit on the same bus, or you have to sit somewhere, or you can't sit in the same cafe, or you have to sit in other seats. William Wilberforce, a huge mover in the abolition of slavery, was an evangelical Christian. angry at the way people were transported from Africa to be slaves in horrible, horrible, horrible conditions. And they made a huge change because they felt the anger of God. If we could look at that last slide, please, Ben. I think there's one more. What is the difference between my anger or your anger? Usually, my human anger is all about me. God's anger is all about helping others. And my prayer tonight is that we as a church will begin to feel more the sense of God's heart and his thinking towards the people and the poverty and whatever else we see around us, that we can begin to reach out. Instead of anger, it gets turned into compassion. And we reach out to these people around us. I just want to finish quickly with some verses from Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 9. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it's worth reading if you have some time. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Let's just pray. Just before we pray, I want to sort of split the prayer into two sections, really. Although I kind of said in a jokey way about anger, I hope people haven't taken it as being offensive or anything like that. It's just my way of making a point. And for some of us, anger can be a real issue. It can be real deep-seated, going back to when we were young. Maybe we don't even understand why we get so angry about different situations. And sorry, if you just want to look at the board for a second, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to cross that barrier out between God and people. There is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy, there is power to be different. Not that we have to try to be different. I was researching the anger and said, you might want to go for a run or punch a punch ball, which may be great things for you to do, but it's not really dealing with that deep-rooted situation. So I'd like to pray for anyone here. I don't know who you are, I don't know what your anger is about. But if you are fed up with that and you want to be changed and be set free, I'm just going to pray that God will come and meet with you right now. Lord, I thank you that you know each one of us here. I thank you for your overwhelming and reckless love. I thank you that we can love because you first loved us. Lord, and I just pray for anyone now who is here who just is so frustrated by their anger, by the way it's maybe impacting their lives and the lives of people around them. And I just pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and you would fill them, and you would set them free from the chains that bind them. Lord, I thank you that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and I pray that that fruit would be fed and watered, that it might grow and develop and be strong and just get rid of any anger that is rooted in their lives. Come, Holy Spirit, in power, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the second thing I'd like to pray for, really, is if anyone here just has a real heart for, it could be the homeless, it could be poverty, it could be working with children, or any kind of injustice that you see in this world. It could be injustice you see in your school, your college, your classroom. I don't mind, I don't know where. And it's right to be angry with that injustice, and it's right to feel that it's wrong. But just as Jesus saw injustice around him, and he reached out, and he did something, he invited the supernatural into that situation, I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, we are here and we are your people, and I'm sure for each one of us we see injustice around us. Lord, fill us with your spirit so that we begin to think and feel like you, that our anger at these injustices might be turned into compassion. And as we reach out in compassion, Lord, that we would see you at work supernaturally. Lord, that we would see healing. We would see deliverances. We would see mighty provision in whatever field we think we see our injustice and we want to be involved with. Lord, if there are people here who need to be involved in CAP in the future or any other organization that reaches out and deals with injustice, Lord, I pray that you would provide for them, that you would speak to them clearly about their future and where you want them to go and what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.